Thanks for listening to Leadership Level Up. I'm Brian Prairie.
And I'm Dr. Jeff Williamson.
I am just starting my leadership journey.
And I've been guiding leaders for 30 years.
Our podcast aims to shine a spotlight on outstanding leaders and provide a platform for them to describe their leadership journey and share the guiding principles that have helped them become great leaders.
Welcome to Leadership Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Williamson, and we're glad to have you with us today as we continue to talk about leaders and leadership and the lessons that they have learned. I'm really excited to hear from our guest today, Dr. Scott Goslin. He's been a friend for a long time, and I've been chasing him for a while because he's a busy guy and he's very willing, but I was happy we were able to find a date that worked for you. But before we formally welcome him, let me give you a little background on his career and work. He's in his 19th year superintendent of Bradley School District 61. He's been an administrator in the Bradley School District for the past 28 years. And then before coming to Bradley, taught for 5 years in the Reed Custer School District. He's a graduate of Bradley Bourbonnais, local kid. Mm-hmm. Olivet Nazarene University, Governor State, Lewis University, and received a doctoral degree from National Lewis University in 2008. He's been on many local community committees and leadership roles, and I'll not name all those, but they are many, and your impact has been significant. He was awarded the 2017 Three Rivers Region Superintendent of Distinction by the Illinois Association of School Administrators. Dr. Goslin is married to his wife, Sue, and they have two daughters, Claire and Lily, and so... thanks for coming in, Scott. Good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Anytime I get a chance to interact with you, I jump at it. Dr. Goslin has been a guest in my classes in the past. Mm-hmm. He has been a guest with our Converge U leadership program that's going on now. So, man, I appreciate you sharing your insights and
For all the work you've done with our kids and our community.
Thank you. Thank you. It's joy. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to help other people grow and learn because I'm a learner and I like to grow. Yeah, and absolutely. So it's certainly been a blessing to be able to spend a lot of years in higher ed and now in leadership development. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, higher ed's where our paths crossed. We've both done some adjunct teaching in a doctoral program at Olivet. And so I think that was our earliest crossing was maybe like a faculty training meeting or something like that. Absolutely. I'm like, hey, this is a good dude.
We got to talking about running. I think you were a runner. I'm not sure if you still do or not.
Yeah, I've done a lot of triathlons. The running part, I just survive. The other stuff I like better.
I'm not running anymore. I've had some issues with like plantar fasciitis and a couple different things. So now I'm just kind of swimming more.
Yeah, me too, man.
That's all. I enjoy that workout.
As the years go by, we start seeking out those lower impact activities. But yeah, the pool is much more friendly to the body than running is. So totally I get you there. We're both not youngsters anymore. I'll just say it that way.
I totally agree. I can feel my body feel that way.
Our body talks to us if we do dumb things. Well, enough of that. I want to give our listeners a chance to get to know you a little bit better. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned in the bio, you grew up here in the Bradley Bourbonnais area in central Illinois, north central Illinois. And certainly there have been leaders that impacted you for you to start in education and eventually become an administrator in higher education. I'm sure there's been some impact people, maybe even back in your school days as a young man. You know, you had a successful baseball career, and I know that started early. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there's coaches or mentors. Right. Who would be some influencers you're like, hey, you know, some of my early memories of how to lead and influence and encourage people that maybe stuck?
I like you said, I grew up in Bradley Bourbonnais, actually in Bourbonnais. Went to the Bourbonnais schools. Olivet was my college, but I went to Bradley Bourbonnais High School. And, you know, my mom and dad actually were the people I looked up to most. They were older when they had me. I did have a brother that was 20 years older than I, and I had a sister that was 17.
Okay.
So we had some gap there. So really, I almost grew up with like four parents. I really did. And my mom and dad were very supportive. They always went to games. They've always went to activities, always went to events. Same thing with my brother and sister. I know they moved away when I was a little bit younger, but I can always look up to them and talk to them. But I think my the role of education or the wanting to work with kids of simply the coaches I grew up with. You know, I saw the impact they had in my life and other kids' lives. You know, we're talking, you know, minor league to little league. We're talking high school. We're talking – I was very fortunate to play three sports in high school. I had golf, basketball, and baseball. And every coach was a different coach that had impact on my life. And really growing up, my thought was I wanted to coach all my life because I wanted to make an impact in kids' lives. And I think that that was, you know, and I can't pinpoint one particular coach, but every one of them had some sort of significant impact on my life growing up. And like I said, my mom and dad, whatever game I played, whatever activity I knew they were there. And that's something that a lot of our kids nowadays can't say that. And if that's the case, then fantastic. But, you know, and that really was the impact why I went to Olivet. I lived on Belmont Avenue with my parents, and if you are familiar with Olivet, I could, you know, hit a golf ball that far. It's right down the road.
You could hike it over from the back door of your house.
Yeah. I've had some opportunity to maybe go to a different college here and there, but the biggest thing was simply my mom and dad can watch me play baseball and basketball, whatever I did, Olivet. So that was an impact. So I guess, you know, for mentors you know, I do remember my first teaching job at Reed Custer. I was assigned a mentor. And tell you the truth, him and I are very good friends to this date. And that was probably 35 years ago. Mm. We talk. We actually go on golf trips. We do a lot of different things together. And he was an older gentleman that actually took me underneath his wing and kind of showed me the ropes as being a teacher. Then when I left, and it's been 28 years, we've kept in contact. And so just one person, and it just shows you, you know, whatever you learn in life or whatever you learn in school, you know, it's the impact of a person that makes an impact on you. And I think that is so important. And this gentleman is one of many people that have impacted my life throughout the years. So it's just simply, and that's why, you know, whoever I try to see and talk to and have a, you know, relationship with, you know, hopefully I'm impacting their life and most of the times they impact mine.
Right.
So that's,
that's the blessing is it goes both ways.
Absolutely.
You know, when those mentors started seeing things in you and encouraging you as a young teacher and an emerging leader, certainly they had a lot of blessing coming out of that too, to see what you've done and then to maintain, like you said, maintain those friendships over the years. You know, I often say relationships are everything.
Absolutely.
And that's what I hear you saying. Hey, mentorship and leadership started at home with mom and dad.
Absolutely.
They showed up for me. Mm-hmm. And man, is that not a good concept of leadership to say you show up for your people if we're talking office and team and context?
I can just visualize, you know, some teachers that impacted my life at the upper grade center or even, you know, at, I'm not sure whether Allen Shepherd or whatever school I went back then. Mm-hmm. And even Bradley Burbank High School, I see them on a consistent basis. And we talk, we have fun, we enjoy each other, maybe go out, hang out a little bit. But, I mean, those are real people that made an impact. And like I said, could I tell you what I learned in sixth grade math? I know who taught me.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know them and their character.
I know them and their character, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that. I think that's one prime example, staying in your community. That's a benefit that you see people that have impacted your life no matter what, even if they didn't realize they did.
Right.
They have. And sometimes to have that conversation and say, hey, you did back then, or you still doing it now? You know, I think that's, you know, I've had some people say that to me and I didn't realize I touched their life at that particular time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've done a lot of softball coaching in the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years because my girls played.
Yeah.
You know, and I do have a lot of girls that come up and say, hey, coach, and maybe my first couple of years that I'm trying to, you know, remember who this person, you know, this kid is. But we have a conversation and we talk, oh, yeah, I remember you're such and such. And it's just, I'm glad I've had a chance to do that and impact lives. And again, and maybe we can talk about more, but winning is not at all cost. I mean, winning is going to happen.
Sure.
But building those relationships and building the trust and the fundamentals of whatever sport you're playing.
Right.
So I think building relationships and get the trust and good things would happen.
Yeah, trust is so key. Mm-hmm. And I think when those moments come that someone stops you at an event and mm-hmm. says, hey, I'm Jeff, and when I was 6th, 7th grade, you were my teacher, whatever. And, you know, we often hear the saying that that people remember how we make them feel.
Right.
And so that is such an encouragement, mm-hmm. I'm sure, because if you made them feel terrible, they probably would just keep walking,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
And so those relationships are key in leadership as well. So certainly, you know, you mentioned trust and how we treat people and investing in them and, mm-hmm. and just seeking to make their lives better. What would be some other things you'd think of? You'd say, you know, you started out at 5 years as a teacher, mm-hmm. and you mentioned your mentor that was assigned mm-hmm. to you sure. then that you're still in touch mm-hmm. with now. So as you, if those years started to emerge as you're teaching and you're thinking, hey, I might want to get into administration. I may want to mm-hmm. lead,
sure.
be a director, be an assistant or a superintendent at some point. What was that progression like where mm-hmm. you started to think, hey, I think I might want to try my hand at this?
I had a colleague at the time that actually, first year, same thing. And we had mentors that kind of were together and we did some things together. And him and I got to talking someday or one of the days and say, you know what? I really appreciate our principal and what mm-hmm. he does and what kind of relationship he builds and what kind of things he does from a education standpoint as well. We talked. I said, hey, what about us going to school?
Why not me?
You know, why not? Yeah. I think I could do this. I think I could do this. And he said the same thing. I think I can do this. And so when we went to school, and that's where we went to Governor State University.
Right.
We had class on maybe a Tuesday, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. We hung out. We left school. We went to school, came back and ate, and it did the same thing weekly and then again yearly. And we decided that we were getting close. And we got our degree mm-hmm. with our Type 75 back then. That was our administrative degree.
Right.
And I decided to apply for my first job and got it over at Bradley Central as an assistant mm-hmm. principal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was because of we pushed each other to a level that, hey, we can do this. Because there's long nights. I mean, it's like everybody. We all go through long mm-hmm. nights where you're coaching and going to school and stuff. And But I think we relied on each other and relied on our people there to be able to get through it. I don't think I would be in a position that if I didn't have that mentor or that leadership at that Reed Custer that I would mm-hmm. be in the position I am now.
Yeah. So again, the modeling mm-hmm. of a leader that you're like, man, I mm-hmm. like the way that person connects with the teachers, connects mm-hmm. with the kids. And maybe one of these days I'll do that.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
We aspire to things when we have those people that we can look at and say, they're doing meaningful work.
Right.
They're doing this
mm-hmm.
really well. Mm-hmm. And then that inspires us.
Mm-hmm.
And you, of course, you've had those opportunities over the years as an assistant principal mm-hmm. and now superintendent for a good number of years. I'm pretty certain there's a few teachers and now administrators mm-hmm. that at one point, they were kind of in that spot of you kind of going, mm-hmm. man, I really like my principal. And he's connected to the kids. He cares about us. He tries to elevate our mm-hmm. experience as teachers. I think maybe I want to do that for
Absolutely.
Other teachers. And so
and you see the leadership traits that person had or anybody else has. You know, I think that a lot of, you know, we can talk about leadership as well, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the things, you know, he led by example. He led by doing things that if he didn't want other people to do, he would do it himself to model that behavior. And I think that's really instilled on me. And even through the mentors and all that, you know, all the teachers back then. But it's still these traits that, hey, I'm not going to sit behind a desk. I'm going to go out and do things. And if people if I'm unnoticed, that's fine because I know this is the right thing to do. If people notice it, that's fine too. So
well, I know you literally are still out in the parking lot sometimes, you know, helping buses get in and out and getting kids boarded at the or off at the day.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't think every superintendent does that.
Well, and that's, you know, each person has their own personality.
Yeah.
And mine is simply, I like to go out and be seen and help kids. It's like everybody all do.
Right.
I don't have a problem with, you know, with COVID back a few years, that word. You know, we helped, it helped in the cafeteria. We helped with being a custodian. We helped because we had to do it. And that's something that was necessary to get by. And And I don't mind that. I really don't mind that. I like the
Well, that's true to you as I've known you over the years. Yeah. But I think also it's such a good example of how as leaders, we don't have to be exactly like somebody else, sure. even when they were a good mentor or a good example. Sure. You're able to be Scott at your best and someone else either presently or in the future. They'll become a principal or a superintendent and they'll do it differently and it'll be great because they're being authentic and true to who they are.
Absolutely.
And I think that's so key. That's been a learning of mine along the way is like, it is so exhausting to try to be somebody else.
Right.
But when we get to that point where we kind of feel comfortable in our own skin and go, I don't know everything, but I've learned a few things and I think I show up best.
Yeah.
When I'm being me and me at my best.
No, it's totally true. And, you know, being a superintendent for whatever years and, you know, I there's so much to know and there's so much to continue on learning. And, you know, what I feel like if I have a good knowledge of a lot of different things and be myself and to try to build those relationships with people and obviously trying to lead by example and have good communication and let people lead and try to give them. I think that's why I feel I've been successful for these many years. I really have. Now, again, my personality may not work in another school district or another situation, but it's worked here. Worked here for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. Well, here in the last few minutes, I always like to hear more about what you see. I know you're at the end of a good run and in the near future, you're going to be transitioned. I always like to say, I'm just going to be repurposed. I'm not retiring.
That's true.
And I see that in you. You got a lot in your tank. You got a lot to offer. What do you foresee in the coming year or two once you hit the finish line in your career as a superintendent? What would you see being the next thing?
My wife and I, we've had many conversations about what's my next step. I mean, right now she's a principal at Bishop Mack, and she's going to be working for a few more years. We have young kids. They're still going through high school.
Right.
So my plan is either try to continue with a leadership role somewhere, maybe in a school setting.
Okay.
Maybe doing something in a leadership role or maybe in a private sector or some kind of
– I see.
Or maybe doing some consulting work and things like that.
I could absolutely see that.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy that. I can't just sit in. And again, is this a good time to retire? I believe so because we put people in a great position at the Bradley School District.
Right.
You know, we're in a good spot to have somebody else come in. It's a good spot for me to walk away. I'll be fully invested for retirement to
That's
be able to do that.
That's always handy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always handy.
Yeah.
And we're in a good spot. And it was difficult trying to have that conversation, you know, with our Board of Education. And let me just add that too.
Yeah.
I mean, the other reason why I've been so successful here, because I've had a great Board of Education. I've had a great administrative staff. I've had great teachers and supporting of what I have done and what we have done. And you don't get that a lot of different places. You
no,
do.
No.
But you don't. But I've been very fortunate that the place I've worked for the last 28 years has been a great place to work. And I want to come to work every day. But again, that's me surrounding myself with good people.
Right.
And I think that's a great thing to say.
Well, and as you described that, the word culture was coming to mind. And that's, again, you mentioned is a good thing of having longevity is that your directors, your teachers, your school principals, they have a sense of what to expect from you.
Exactly.
And they know that you'll hop in and clean up the lunchroom. You'll go out and if teachers are out or somebody's sick, you'll hop out and direct traffic. I think when people see that, that contributes to the culture and that team. And then as you were talking about the different things that you do and how you like to serve in this, in this role, is that those actions, I think, probably mean as much or more than anything we can say to people.
Sure.
Of course, communication matters. Of course, how we lead and instruct others, it matters. But I think what they see us doing as leaders and our willingness to do whatever it takes, that's a different message that I don't know can even be captured in words.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I heard something on radio the other day about the system. Like if you're either a head coach or if you're a superintendent or a principal and you have a system that's down and you're ready, this is the way it's going to be, da, da, da. And sometimes that system doesn't work because of your system doesn't meet the personalities of people that actually – that were either work under a team. I felt like what – I mean, I always try to have a system in place and goals. But that changes throughout the year because, you know, the people – I mean, I've been 12 administrators and 12 different personalities and 12 things that make them click different than the other. Mm-hmm. And then you have to adapt your leadership to be able to get the best out of them.
Right.
So my own personal philosophy about, hey, this is what it's going to be, may not work for this person. It may not work for this one, but trying to get, you know, together to get everybody work as a team. That's where I believe as a good leader, not just myself, but just in general, trying to get everybody together.
And I was thinking that with you having been a multi-sport athlete, a big part of your life, it's almost like sometimes when the personnel is different on a team, you adjust your offense or you adjust your scheme to fit the talent you have. And I think that relates here where you're saying, hey, this system worked well for this 8 to 10 year period. But now we've got a few different principals. We've got some different personalities and director roles. So we let them be them within parameters that obviously you have to meet as a school. But I think that's exciting that you see the value of that, of going, hey, that was good in the 90s.
Yeah.
But we got to think and operate a little bit differently. And sometimes those things are forced on you.
Absolutely.
COVID.
And I think that people respect that. People respect that, hey, I'm my own person. Let me lead or let me do what I think is now – there might be parameters
of course
here and there,
sure,
but other than that, I think that's their way of the trust factor of able to, because if I'm constantly on whoever and what I think is right and what this person thinks is right, and it's going to be misconnect somehow. And we kind of, you know, obviously go back and forth, but anyway, I just wanted to let them work and be themselves,
right?
And they'll get a better product or response than I would.
Yeah. One of the things that I've enjoyed being an older professional, I'm not in my 20s anymore, but a bunch of the people that work here around us are in their 20s or their 30s. Oh, sure. And I love that. Yeah. And I love the aspect when we're talking about a program or an event or something with marketing, I can say to them, what do you think would be a good way to do this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they'll say, well, I think we'd try this and this and this. And I'm going to go, okay, let's do it. Yeah. I trust your experience and I trust you. And that is so freeing, I think, for me personally. Yeah. But I hope it's freeing for them to go, yeah, he's twice my age, but he trusts me with this stuff. He trusts me to figure it out and have a good outcome. And I find joy in that. I want them to know I believe in them. I want them to know that I trust them to do their job.
I think a lot of the trust factor is giving them a voice, or at least knowing they have a voice.
I love to do that.
Yeah, and that's something. If they have a voice, they feel welcomed. They feel like they have, you know, you trust them enough to just have a conversation, or even if it goes even farther than that, that's a great spot.
Yeah, you'll often hear the phrase of someone saying, I finally have a seat at the table, or I deserve to be at the table, and I love to help that happen for people who are earlier in the career, like you and I were a couple of decades ago, right? To have someone go, I think you're up to the task. Yeah. I think you can do this. Yeah, so absolutely. Let's give it a go. Mm-hmm. That's what mentors do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's such a joy. And I think that's why I spent 3 decades in higher education is because that learning process, that growing process that we get to kind of ride along with is such a joy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty certain that in the months, years coming, that you're going to contribute a lot, even as you change roles and step out of your superintendent's role to either serve as a consultant or whatever. And so we'll look forward to seeing the next chapter of your journey, because I'm sure you're going to be repurposed and have a lot to contribute. And I often say that leadership is influence. And so I'm confident you'll continue to do that. Well, hey, thanks for being with us on Leadership Level Up. It's always great to catch up, and thanks for sharing your story with
us. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Leadership Level Up. Please subscribe so you don't miss future conversations with great leaders.